It's Bumper Podcast time here on Celtic Underground. If you are a subscriber, you are going to get our review of the Champions League draw and the preview of the Rangers game. Sorry, if that's you're a paid subscriber, if you are a subscriber for free and anybody else, then you will be getting the podcast, which is a preview of the Rangers game. Anyway, if you want to subscribe, go to thecelticunderground.substack.com and you can find out more information. This is me, Harry Brady, and I'm with Ross Hall and Andrew H. Smith. And I'm now going to say that we will talk about the game we've got on Sunday, because we play a Glasgow derby on Sunday against the third place team in Scottish football, Rangers. So, Ross, what's your thoughts going into Sunday?
I've said this previously. I don't make predictions on these things. I hate these games.
No, but just what's your thoughts about the game? I'm not looking for the score at the moment.
Yeah, but my thoughts are we've got to be confident. Three games, three clean sheets, nine goals. The team's ticking along beautifully. However, we've discussed them previously. Matt O'Riley will be an interesting loss in this game, probably because if you look at the last few games against Rangers, how he has moved over to the right side and linked with Forrest and Johnston in particular in the last couple of games, and how we've dismantled them on that side. And so him not being there, it'll be interesting to see how we shape the attack, whether Cal McGregor is the one who goes over there or whether Bernardo will be the one who goes over there. But there's nothing on paper that would concern me in the slightest. I think Rangers will play with the exact same team as they played with against Ross County. I think they'll play Sterling in midfield. I think as much as some people are calling for Tav Penn to be dropped to the bench for them to play Sterling at right back, I don't think that'll happen. I think we'll see Tom Lawrence. But, you know, I hate saying this because, as I say, I don't like making predictions. I don't even like talking them down. I just don't see anything in that team that particularly concerns me. Matondo has got pace, and pace can always cause problems. The signing that they've made, Vaclav Czerny, had a really good time out in Holland about 2 years ago. Went to Germany, didn't really work out for them. But he is a player who's capable, but yet to see how that's going to fit into the Rangers team because it's so early in the season. Yeah, I just am not seeing anything to scare me. And I think if they play Yefty at left back, there's an area there to be exploited. Who they will play, I think Balogun's meant to be injured, potentially. So who they'll play in beside him, I do not know. I'm trying to think who they've actually got at the back these days. Davies is away on loan. No, he's away on loan.
Oh, is he?
He's away on loan. Did he go on loan?
So Leon King, maybe?
I thought they were also trying to get rid of him as well.
He dropped Sterling back there, didn't he, on Saturday? Once Balogun got injured, he played at centre-back. So I don't know if he would persist with that.
Possibly. It would then be who he put in midfield beside Barron, which I would assume would either be Daryl or Diamandé.
It would be Diamandé, I would imagine. That's what he did.
I'm just looking at, yeah, so he brought on Diamandé for Balogun, and then, as you're saying, he moved Sterling back. Like, I'll always be honest, I don't watch Rangers, ever, unless it's against us. But in general terms, I don't watch them. There's no enjoyment in it for me. Unless I see the 3-0 down with 5 minutes to go and it's on the telly, I'll flick over just to see how many folk are left in the crowd. But other than that, I very, very rarely would watch them. I don't go out of my way to do it, certainly. So when you're saying what he done last weekend, couldn't tell you. No interest. As I say, nothing in that team that worries me, but I don't like these games in general. They make me feel sick to the pit of my stomach, to be honest. So it's kind of one of those where even when I'm watching them or if I'm at them, I'm not the best at watching these games. Nervous, regardless of how good we are and regardless of what shape I think they're in. There's something about these games that gets the butterflies in the stomach, and it's not something I particularly enjoy.
Andrew?
I think it's got to be time for another hiding. It's got to be. I mean, I know I shouldn't say that. Like, Ross is probably grueling here, but It's got all the hallmarks of a hiding. And Celtic have disappointed me against Rangers of recent times because they should have really been winning far more comfortably than they have been. I mean, they were terrible. The two teams were terrible in the cup final. Even when it comes to Rangers were down to 10 men in the Celtic Park game before that. It was like Celtic were kind of, there was kind of nervy moments because I think they brought it back to 2-1, didn't they? I mean, when was the last, like Celtic, I think it was only once in the last something like 8 or 9 games or something, they've won by more than a single goal. Come on, Celtic. You know, it's time for another like a 4-0 like from a couple of Septembers ago. Especially, I say this because it's my 57th birthday on Sunday, so they owe it to me. Like, I used to watch, my birthday growing up was always Celtic and put out of Europe. That's what it used to be. So many of them. I remember one time a 3-0, losing at home 3-0 to Aberdeen in the 89-90 season. I remember certain, I've not had many good. The good birthday was, do you remember when they won it? Celtic won at Ibrox, and I think John Hayes scored. I think that was my birthday. Mm-hmm. That was the 1st of September job. Remember, because everybody said Celtic would lose that day, if you remember right. Like everybody said, yep. Lennon's side don't have a hope here. They don't have a hope here. And I think, who scored the first goal that day? Am I getting the right game?
The thing I remember about the Hayes one was I was watching it on a stream with my dad. And obviously the stream's a wee bit behind. And my phone starts going, I think Rangers are a corner. And my phone pings and my stomach sinks. And I look and it's just people saying yes. And like lots of yes. Yeah. And we go to clear the ball. And I said to my dad, I think we're going to go out the field and score here. And we break, Edward and Hayes go out the field. And I think, this is it, Edward's going to score. And then he saves it. And I'm thinking, no, he doesn't. And then Hayes puts it in the back of the net. My dad's like, how did you know? I was like, I just had a feeling. I just had a feeling we're going to go out the park and score. Because I'm like 40 seconds behind watching it on the stream. But my memory of Brendan first time round was actually being frustrated that we didn't beat 7-1. We should have. There was two occasions we should have beaten we should have beaten them by more than 7-1.
First of September 2019, 2-0 to Celtic at Ibrox.
Yep. Edward scored the first one.
32, Hayes 93. God, I don't think it was as late as that.
Oh, aye, it was. You know, they were chucking everything in it for the corner. And
probably must be the first time we've played in the 1st of September, like my birthday, since 2019, maybe. Will it come along every 5 years or something?
It's always around this time. I mean, I think it was how many years ago, 23 years ago, yesterday or the day before, that was the 6-2 game at Celtic Park.
That was my birthday as well. No, couldn't have been,
because it was, I'm sure it was yesterday or the day before, 23 years
ago. You're right.
And again, the thing I remember about the 6-2 game, because of the way we'd been as a club, even at 5-2, I was nervous that they would come back into it. It wasn't until we made it 6-2 that I was really sure, that's it. We're doing this. We're winning this game.
I remember my colleague, Johnny Norcroft, and we're going down to get our tea at half-time, and I said, how crap has Larson been in this game? Even with Celtic, like, and then he's flick over the, he must have scored twice in the second half, did he, Larson?
Yeah, Sutton scored the sixth goal. That was obviously Bobby Better ran rings around for Fernando Rixney to get taken off after whatever it was, 30 minutes in the first half. Eh? So how are you looking for us to be set up, Ross?
Exactly as we have been, exactly as we were last week, I think.
Bernardo's coming in for O'Reilly?
Yep, absolutely. And Bernardo in the games against Rangers has stepped up in big moments. You know, last season, that cup final, it was in one of the articles that we put about Ida. You watch how clever he was in both games, the 3-3 game, which, when we're talking about games where I feel sick, when we went 2-0 up in that 3-3 game last season, I'm thinking, this is, at Ibrox as well, this is a jolly overconfidence. And then, and so it's one of those things, it's ridiculous, but you start blaming yourself in your head going, because I got too confident, too cocky, it's my fault. And I know so many people who do that. You sit there and you talk to yourself and go, that was me, that was my fault.
I've moved on
and,
from there. Yeah. I used to be like that. I've moved on from there. I have realised that my over-optimism has zero impact on the ability of the team to win a game of football. Yeah. But I used to.
And with Ross.
My wife tells me that. She's like, do you seriously think like what colour of trousers you're wearing has anything to do with this? I'm like, you don't know, it doesn't. So let's just leave that there. But that game, again, Bernardo came on in that game late in the game. And two things stuck out in my head about Bernardo last season. It was the two games against Rangers. Mm. That game, he came on. We were getting pressed badly. We looked like we were going to throw that game away. And he drifts away into space. And nobody in the Rangers midfield looks to see where he goes. And then he ends up with acres of space. He plays the ball. He finishes brilliantly. And then the cup final, same again. He finds himself a nice big chunk of space in the middle. Spins Raskin. And then Raskin's buying his ticket to get back in as Bernardo's off. He hits a shot. It's, you know, it's well struck, but Butland, being the hero that he is for Celtic, does the good thing and puts it right in front of Ida and he scores. And so to me, Bernardo has shown that thing in those games where he goes, I'll have some of this, and he goes and he's capable of a moment. So to me, he's a no-brainer.
I think his bustle suited to this game. Because I used to think sometimes Hatate and O'Reilly would drop out of games against Rangers.
I think as O'Reilly's time went on with us, I think he just naturally grew into it. And I don't want to keep on going back to O'Reilly, but to me, O'Reilly, the reason he'll be such a big miss for me is O'Reilly this season and through chunks last season was the player who seemed to get exactly what Rodgers wanted perfectly in his head. And so he had a picture of everything that was going around him perfectly as to what he'd been told through the week by Rodgers, whether it was defensively or whether it was in attack, whether it was in transitions. O'Reilly just seemed to have... He was at the point where he was gliding through games, and he truly was like a joy to watch because it looked effortless. And some players, you can see it sort of like they're not having to think, but there's a sort of mechanism where you can see them going through a process, whereas where O'Reilly, it literally looked as if he had been doing it his entire life. It was like he was moving on ice. He just floated around, and it's a real blow to lose him. I loved watching him. But I think going into this game, losing him shouldn't be that big a difference. I think Bernardo's a perfectly good replacement for him, especially in this game where I think his intelligence will shine through as it has done in the last two games against them.
Sorry, carry on.
Also, I was going to say, just on a little tangent, because I do like to go off on little tangents, you mentioned Johnny Hayes, and I won't go into any details, but the B team are doing particularly well this season, having done pretty poorly last season. And from some of the people I've spoke to, Johnny is a very well-loved man around Lennox Town.
Right.
And so...
They love them at Aberdeen. He's coaching.
Just a wee uplifting thing about what's going on, sort of academy direction.
Yeah.
Johnny seems to be making a good impression. And obviously, he scored against them. So obviously, he's a hero.
Yeah.
But I've noticed that the B team are getting results this season. The one thing I was going to say, the Matt O'Reilly thing demonstrates... You know, I sometimes get frustrated with football supporters who think of playing for Celtic from their perspective as a football supporter and not think of playing for Celtic from the perspective of somebody who has been aspiring to be a professional footballer at an elite level from about the age of 9. And it's their career and it's their job and, you know, all this stuff about, if they just stayed one more season. That tackle on O'Reilly demonstrated why if you are completely enveloped within the football world and the football culture, they all know that tackle on O'Reilly, or worse, the John Kennedy tackle, could be the next tackle you get.
Yeah.
And so you take the move when the move arises, because you just never know what's coming next in your career. I mean, that's
O'Reilly going to be out for. I hate all this about young guys and looking, and somebody that's quite adjacent to this, always seems to, like, a young player will only play 10 games and then they'll get offered 3 times more money to go. You go as soon as you get the money. You get the chance, you go. Because the thing is, you might get found out as well. you know, like the kind of Mark Burchills of this world or whatever, you know, like, when they're talking about 5,000 a week to go to Arsenal. Look, you cash in your chips whenever they come because it is such a precarious environment.
A manager can come in and decide he doesn't, you know, a manager can come in and decide, particularly for younger players. I mean, unless you are like Messi, whatever, a manager can come in and say, decide he doesn't fancy you, but there's something about another young player who plays in a similar position to you that he can see something in that the last manager didn't, and suddenly you've gone from being that guy to that guy.
Yeah, we've seen it.
You know, and you can have the tackle. You know, there's 101 reasons, and the biggest thing is, this guy's career. You know? Anyway, Andrew, how do you see Celtic setting up against Rangers on Sunday?
As Ross says, he's not going to... There's such a kind of fluency of it Celtic right now that he's not going to upset that. They really do. Like, I don't think I've necessarily seen Celtic look as kind of in their groove as early in a season. It's a long time since I've seen that. They look as if they're almost a mid-season Celtic. It was really interesting to hear Petrov talking about it. I don't know if anybody saw his stuff, because he's obviously, he must be doing, I don't know if he's doing his A licence or something, but he travelled out with Celtic to America, and he was saying it was incredible the amount of information that every player was receiving, even those at those early points. I want you to be doing it. It's what, like Ross talks about, how like O'Reilly kind of soaked all that up, but it's like he's given it from it. He says, Petrov said he couldn't believe the number of different people working with each individual player and saying, this is what we want from you, this is what we want from you in this situation, you know, every training session. He says it's an incredible attention to detail. He said, so it almost didn't surprise me that Celtic looked as if, when they started even those games in America, how often have you seen Celtic? Remember Strachan used to always go, oh, it takes you 6 weeks for the strikers to get in their fluency, to get their... Right, no, if you do enough in pre-season, clearly. No, and like, yeah. This is, Rodgers is reminding people that Rodgers is an elite coach. I think the way that Celtic look, I mean, we could be wrong and Celtic could blow out in the Champions League or whatever, but there's something really like impressive about how Celtic just seem to know other angles. They seem to know, like, there's all those kind of combinations. They just... It's a long time since I've been quite as kind of taken by a Celtic team this early in a season. So he'll do exactly what he's been doing, because it's working, man.
It's the pace with which we're playing that's really impressing me. And
a friend in another podcast, Juco James, he'll probably be doing a bit like in terms of the penetrative passes compared to like the kind of sideways passes. They just seem to have kind of, they've shifted at 10 yards and they've also shifted the angles to be more kind of like a direct rather than like a 90 degree angle. It's like, or I should say a kind of 9 o'clock, instead of 9 o'clock angles, 10 o'clock angles, we're getting 12 o'clock angles passes. There's just
I don't know if you agree with me, Ross, but I think part of this, the help here is... last year, particularly in the first two-thirds of the season, we were really struggling in the wide positions. And that this season, the wide position, Kuhn, obviously, is playing much better than he did in the second half of the season when he arrived last season. So, I don't know whether that's assisting in the point that Andrew's making about the more penetrative pass and the penetrative movement. We seem to be getting much more in the wide positions that Brendan would be wanting than we had this time last season.
I just think probably the biggest difference from last season to this is, last season we went into the league with a lot of new players that clearly nobody knows exactly how they were meant to fit. And I think it took them a long time to work out who was going to fit where. And then there was the transition.
It took a long time to work out they don't fit.
None of them are fit.
Well, I don't think none of them fit, but you know, I think that transition from Postecoglou to Rodgers, I can see that. You know, there are elements that he's kept. So Greg Taylor still likes to come inside. But this season, a good pre-season, where as much as we would bemoan the fact that the transfer window is taking its time to get up to speed, the core of the players that are going to make up our 11 in the game on Saturday have had the entire pre-season to work together, play through, and instead of having sort of a game every sort of 3-4 days through the whole of last season where it was a bit bitty at times, it was, you know, hot and cold through periods, they've now had that good, solid period to go, this is our plan. Rodgers has clearly painted his picture and went, this is where everybody fits. And as you say, it now looks as if every player is in sync with what has been asked of them, whereas last season it felt at times as if a few of them, and Rodgers has said himself, it was a few that maybe weren't quite getting exactly what was to be asked them.
Mm-hmm.
He made comments about Hitati. He made pre-season comments about Odin Holm and, you know, what needs to be stepped up. And I think this season, that is what we've seen. You're right, the first three games has been a joy to watch. Probably three of the best first three games that I can remember in a long time. And I think one of the biggest parts of that is Callum McGregor last season. I love Callum. I would kiss his feet if he was in front of me. That is how much I adore Callum. The intensity, the drive to win, the fact that he stayed and he's still got that drive to win. Just man love. But last season, I would say, not his best. He's already equaled his goal tally in the league from last season. This season, we're only three games in. So he's clearly been able to have a bit more freedom to go and do some of the things that he had shown in previous years that he does so well. He's always been able to get a couple of goals. He's always been able to sort of contribute in the final third, whereas last season I felt that kind of fell off a wee bit because
he was
maybe staying back to protect a wee bit more than what would be ideal.
Now
we're seeing Callum McGregor be Callum McGregor.
Do you think that may be as much psychological for him that he's made that decision that he's going to stop playing international football? So it's almost in advance of getting rest periods, it's taking the weight off his shoulders of, I can put the effort in now because see, in 3 weeks' time, I'm going to get a break when everyone's away for 2 weeks for international football. I'll not be doing that. Do you think it could be psychological?
I don't know if he's that type. I think he's just the one who, a bit like Scott Brown was, regardless of whether it was Scotland or Celtic, I'm going to go in and give it everything I've got.
Yeah.
I think probably the bigger thing for me this season is he's looking around him and he's seeing players who are performing. So he's going, I have a wee bit more freedom to go and join in. I trust the guys behind me. I trust the guys at the side of me to do their jobs.
Yeah.
Whereas last season, I felt as if sometimes he hung back a wee bit because there was maybe a bit of lack, not lack of trust, but maybe he's
just
looking
an
around
apprehension
and,
from him. Yeah.
Seeing one or two who are a bit unsure. And so he's gone, I'm going to do a wee bit more protecting.
Yeah.
A wee bit more covering. And basically just being unselfish last season, whereas this season, I think.
Yeah.
You never know. The Scotland thing might be a factor, but I just think he's always been the type, whether it was Scotland or Celtic, you know, friendly Champions League game, cup game, you know, whatever. He's 100% all the time.
Oh, definitely. He's all in all the time. But
I mean, what I'm meaning is, because he knows he is that type of guy who gives 100% in every single game, there's maybe a small element of him thinking, well, there's going to be a handful fewer games when I'm going to have to give that 100%. And it's just taking a bit of a weight off his shoulders.
But like, if Ross is doing his man love, then I have to do my man love. Because let's not forget, one of the guys who's a terrific start to the season that people were wanting him retired a year ago is James Forrest. What a difference he makes. Forrest is playing better now than he has in about 3 or 4 years consistently. I mean, this isn't, people say that he's weekend his spell at the end of last season. Well, he started this season, you know, he's just carried on from where he left off. What a difference. And
two of his best spells as a Celtic player.
What's that?
Two of his best spells as a Celtic player have been under Brendan Rodgers.
Yeah, yeah. He obviously feels that, he feels the love and he feels the trust. But you know, people always say, what does it say about Celtic's recruitment if you're depending on James Forrest? Well, maybe you've got to realise the level, the calibre that James Forrest is. He's 33, he's not 39, you know. People have had him retired. And actually, do you know what I noticed? Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? And I hadn't seen him doing that because he was cutting inside quite a lot. When he came in, he does it really well. He cuts inside, he retains possession. I think he's got assists, and he's got assists in at least two of the three league games already. But was it last week or was it the home game the week before? He burned somebody for pace and took it right to the byline. He's still got that. Maybe he can't do it, as Roger says, with the same intensity. He plays them for 60 minutes and then ordinarily the games have been won, so he can take them off. But he still has that pace. He still can produce over half yard. Not as consistently as he did before, but he can still do it.
So on Sunday, do you think Tavernier started his sleepless nights thinking about playing against Maeda yet? Or will they just start tonight when he starts thinking about playing against Maeda?
I think there's a psychologist who earns a weekly wage off of Tavernier and the problems that he has with Maeda.
By the way, I have watched Rangers. And I know he was kind of carrying an injury. But holy moly, if Maeda doesn't have him in toast this time, he's never going to get a better opportunity. Because you saw it against Kyiv. He just cannot, I mean, he never could defend, but he can't actually get back into defensive positions to be a poor defender. He's actually just, people are just like, you know what I mean? They're just kind of peeling off him against Kyiv. And if Kyiv can do it, I'm pretty sure Celtic are a better team than Kyiv. He just could not even get close to his man. I don't know why they don't play him further forward, kind of thing, like play someone behind him. Because he's still decent enough. They don't have that much creativity. He's one of their more creative players. But trying to track back, trying to go back the way, he's gone. He's absolutely gone. Even more than you've ever seen him, he's gone.
Well, that's good.
I think one thing that was promising, and I think a lot of people noticed it in the St Mirren game, was we're talking about Schmeichel and Joe Hart earlier on, and I think it's fair to say that Schmeichel's got a better distribution of the ball than Joe Hart. Mm-hmm. And there was a ball, I think it was in the second half, and Schmeichel has got it. He's looked up and Dyson's went off down the left.
That's right.
And he's just floated one into that left side and he's kept it in play. And that's, you know, St Mirren's quite a tight pitch in comparison to Celtic Park. And it was right for Dyson. And to be fair, the St Mirren defender done brilliantly to get over and cover. But that, to me, is like just, you know, paint a picture of porn in your head of Dyson, Tavernier. Schmeichel just pops one over the back and just let Dyson go and do what he does.
Yeah. And Kyogo hasn't scored. Kyogo Furuhashi hasn't scored in the league this season. Well, hasn't scored at all this season. I'm putting it out there. He's going to score on Sunday. Because I think he's been terrific as well, like before the shoulder. He's going to score on Sunday. He's just going to be one of those guys that, as long as he's here, he's going to regularly, every way you want to call it, he's going to score. He's going to be a derby destroyer.
You're not wanting to use the famous phrase.
No, I don't. He's going to be a derby destroyer. He's going to be a derby destroyer.
And are you disappointed that there's going to be no away fans there, Andrew? First up,
no, I don't think. I don't want to see. I don't care. You know, it's the most boring, tedious story that there's ever been in Scottish football. Don't care. Do you know? I read something the other day. It was saying like, no, the TV deal's gone. If they don't get this fixture, we like a good section of away supporters. Do people really believe this stuff? Saying this crap? Oh no, it's diminished the fixture. And look, I think it's launched some of the poison that you would hear from Celtic supporters in the fixture. As I say, I've been to Ibrox and it hasn't quite launched that poison, unfortunately. Like when I've been to those games with no Celtic fans. But I personally, I quite enjoyed, apart from the results, but I enjoyed these games during the COVID season when there was no supporters there, because I can't be arsed with hearing people talk about Fenian bees and orange bees and talking about like paedophilia and the wars in Ireland and all that. I just can't be arsed with it anymore, I'm sorry.
Apart from that, Ross, your thoughts on the away support debate?
I don't, like Andrew, I don't think it makes as big a difference as some people would make out. I think if you asked any football supporter out with Scotland and they're watching that game, Are they going to realise that there's no Rangers fans there? I would say 90%. If nobody mentioned it on Sky and it wasn't this huge big thing, I don't think anybody would really notice. They might notice if they actually ever got near our goal and maybe scored one, the player runs and he's not got anybody to celebrate with. But I don't think it's as big a deal. However, in a broader football point, I think there should always be away fans at games. I just think, like Andrew, I don't like any of the crap that goes with it. It's not for me. But I think football, you know, home and away fans should be a possibility every game. But the situation was started by them. It's been carried on by them. I thought Rodgers' wee point in his press conference a couple of weeks ago or 10 days ago or so about it being a Rangers issue was
But I mean that it was so weird that created a furore. I mean, it's just stating a simple fact.
It was a statement of fact. We'd done the work and they hadn't even applied for planning permission.
I was like, what? He's come out and said that. What, he's just come out and relayed a situation as enveloped. Wow.
Yes. I think the reason
the reason
it becomes a big thing is because it's like everybody thinks you have to tread so carefully around these things if you're a Celtic or Rangers manager for that matter. And the fact that he was quite blunt about it and just met it head on and went, their problem, not ours. So if you want to ask these questions and you want to get into the finer details, go and ask someone over there because it's not our problem. We've done our bit. They've not done their bit. So if you want the details as to why this has happened, go and speak to someone else over there. Yeah. And because he was blunt and direct about it, you know, that some people, especially in Scottish media, sort of don't particularly take well to that. And then it's used as a stick to beat him with. But realistically, it was nonsense. There was nothing to be said.
Exactly.
About what he had said.
Just and it was noticeable.
Nobody asked Clement afterwards.
I think it's because people are just so used to the principle of everybody dances around. It's a bit like you go to a wedding or something like that and you end up sitting next to a guy. Oh, yes, and Jimmy likes football, although he's a Rangers fan. And you are then just talking niceties and you do not want to say your team went bust, you let your club die. Any of these topics that have gone on the last 10, 12 years, you cannot mention out of niceties. You have to go, oh, well, you know, seen a bit of your team. Are you hopeful for this season? When you're actually thinking, as you've just said, Andrew, I've seen your team and Tavernier's finished. And you can,
oh, my God, is that going to come back and haunt me? It's like, is this one behind the paywall? Because I feel like...
I'm disappointed.
God is not sitting up there going, do you know, I was going to make this a 6-0 for Celtic. But see, because Andrew Smith said that, I'm going to make it actually 1-1, and that will teach him. With all the other stuff going on in the world, if that does happen, then there's a big problem with the guy upstairs. He's got his priorities wrong.
Especially as I'm working from Brian, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Andrew, that being said, if Tavernier scores and Kyogo misses a sitter, like you know now, in my head, it'll be your fault.
Fair enough, and I would accept that from you. I would accept that.
No, that's fine then.
All of that is just nonsense.
I'm going to double down, actually. Tavernier, he can't defend, he never could defend, and I think he's a tidy player going forward. But it's really, he's lost something this season, and I think he's going to get, Maeda's going to have him on toast. Maeda,
the only
really,
reason
even
he
more
has
than
been,
had.
The only reason he's had the career he's had at Rangers is because he scores penalties and free kicks.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know when he scored that free kick, we were standing outside when he scored in the last, when was it the one he scored in the, he brought it back to 2-1 with a free kick. No, was it the...
It was a New Year game.
3-3 game, was it not?
He scored a free kick in the New Year game.
Was it New Year game? He was standing outside and they'd lost, but hadn't they? Celtic won.
Had they lost,
And he was standing outside waiting to go in and we'd got a Celtic player and he was just standing himself. He looked forlorn because he's a nice guy and all that. And I just saw him standing himself. I went... Oh, that was a terrific free kick, James. Just because I just felt sorry for him, you know. And he went, oh, thanks, kind of thing. But no, when he's told about his mum bringing him up, single parent, and all this, and you know, like, I don't have any, you know. He's not a bad guy. He's not a good footballer, but he's not a bad guy.
So Ross isn't going to give us a score prediction for Sunday. No. Andrew, what's your score prediction?
Go larger, go home. No, I think it is. It's a 3-1-4-1 again. Celtic 2-3.
I remember Radio Scotland did a wee thing briefly where they decided we're going to get some fan bloggers in and see what they say. And it was for the Celtic Rangers game. So it was 2-3 Celtic and 2-3 Rangers and a couple of their standard pundits. And they're going around. So what's the score going to be? And I'd actually heard, it was when Rangers were, it was the season before when they were going through the playoffs. And when they'd failed. And I remember hearing a pro, can't remember who it was a professional saying, Rays will find it harder in the playoff than people think they will. Because the problem is, football is just played at a slower pace. And as you go down the tiers, each tier is just played at a slower pace than the tier. But you don't notice it until you come and play against the team from the upper tier. Now, sometimes in cup games, you can catch them out.
Oh,
but
yeah.
For something like this, they won't. And even if they do get up, they'll struggle next season because playing every week at that higher pace is difficult. I just remembered that guy saying that. And of course, because Rangers, everyone was talking about, oh, Rangers are, you know, they're back and going, all that going for 55 nonsense. And it came round to me and I'd seen that it was something like 40-1 for Celtic to win 4-1. Now, obviously, we won 5-1. We scored 5, but and it came round to me and what do you think the score will be? I said, well, it's 40-1 for 4-1, so I think that'd be quite a safe bet to go for. And they're all like, oh, you can't say that. It was ridiculous, that nonsense. And I was like, no, they thought I was taking the piss. They thought I was taking the piss. And I was exaggerating.
I had money on Celtic at 4-1 and 5-1, and obviously the 4-1 come up relatively early. Me and my colleague will remain nameless because he's still in the industry, but and he said we done all right, the 5-1 would have been nice, but 4-1's great. And I think, was it a minute to go or something like that, that Dembele got his to make it 5-1?
Was because at the time I was fan media was just starting to get into the press conference, so I'm right in the North Stand upper. And I had to make myself, and I didn't know at that time, it was the first time, so I didn't know how long it took for everybody to come off the pitch and then to get in the press conference.
Oh, yeah.
I now know it takes a lot longer. So I then decided to slowly make my way round from the North Stand all the way round to the back of the Celtic end to then be able to go down and go out. And I just kept popping up the odd stairwell, have a look, see the game was, then move along a bit up the stairwell. And came up the stairwell just for the fifth goal to be scored. Yeah, it was excellent.
But we'll tell you exactly when it was. But as I say, I won money in both 4-1 and 5-1 that day. Oh, God, it was Armstrong, 90+2.
It was Armstrong, that was it.
Armstrong
was
the fifth.
Yeah, because it was 90 minutes, that's why I was going round. I remembered that, so.
Because it was like Dembele made it 4-1 in 83, and me and my pal were sitting there quite chuffed. Yeah, hey, we got it right, you know, plus two, I think, plus two means that you need to win by 3 goals. So, we did the plus two. They said, well, it was maybe a bit much expecting the plus three, and then it was like, whoa, we've got the plus three too.
Because we were all worried going into that game because Griffiths was injured.
Yeah.
And Dembele hadn't seen enough of Dembele at that point, and then obviously he demonstrates that he's a better player than Griffiths. Does it? Anyway, so that's your prediction. As I say, Ross, I'm not going to ask your prediction. And I will say, Andrew and Ross, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
We hope you enjoyed that podcast. There will be more along soon. Please share the joy of Celtic Underground. Rate us wherever you can find us on your podcast provision, and also subscribe to the CelticUnderground.substack.com. As you'll be aware, there are two types of subscription. There's free subscription, where you get a certain amount of content delivered directly to your email address. And then there's a paid-for subscription, where you get even more content delivered directly to your email address as and when it comes out. Anyway, enough of me. We hope you enjoyed the podcast, and this is me, Harry Brady, saying goodnight and God bless. Good night.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love.